This email hot off the presses from Shane in Madison, Wisconsin. Just a heads up, George, I believe that the caller who plays that recorded drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket is playing something from R. Lee Ermey's show on the History Channel called Mail Call. As at the end of each show, he says, Semper Fi, carry on. It is the exact same voice, and I believe Mr. Ermey is, in fact, the drill sergeant in the aforementioned movie. You say that he has called in three times. I don't get to listen more than a couple times a month, as my schedule has me up very early, but apparently I managed to listen to all three shows that he's called in on. I have no reason to feel this way, but for every reason, the caller just gives me the galloping shudders. I get goosebumps and seriously creeped out when that call has come in. Strangely enough, all three times, tonight included, I've managed to stay up all night and listen to the entire program. Quite a rarity, as I usually fall asleep in the chair. Anyway, keep up the work. We'll be back in a moment. And welcome back to Open Lines, and let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
This is Becky, and I'm in Truth to Consequences, New Mexico.
Hi, Becky. Another Sylvia Brown sound-alike.
No, I just have a bad cold. I sound like a frog. But there was a caller earlier that was talking about fault lines in Texas.
Yes.
Well, I was raised.
Well, I was the one talking about the fault lines.
There is a major fault line running through Texas. It's called Balcones Fault Line.
But nothing's happened yet, has it?
Well, it just kind of shifts a little bit every once in a while. They're watching it.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, they have been for years. I tell you, you know what an escarpment is?
No.
Well, it's like a big solid. Did you see that old Tarzan movie with Bo Derek in it? And they were going through the jungle, and they ran this big solid wall of rock that went up hundreds of feet into the air, and they had to figure out how to get over it.
Yeah.
It was like a long wall. There was no way to get around it. They had to go over it.
You had to go over it, yeah.
Well, that's an escarpment. There's one of those in the hill country called Balcones Escarpment. And it was right along that fault line. It's like the land just suddenly dropped down about 200 to 300 feet.
Well, this is really weird you would call about this, because what I have read... And again, it's a story coming out of Russia, and some of these things are really hyped. But they are saying that this fault line, and it goes right through Texas, right? Right through
there? I don't know where it starts or where it ends, but there's a lot of it that's right
through
the country.
They say geologists are watching this thing splitting open, getting wider and wider and deeper and deeper.
Do you want to hear something scary?
Yeah.
I went into it. When I was a kid, we used to go on vacation all the time. And any time my parents saw a cave, we went. Well, there's a cave somewhere in there in the hill country. I don't know the name of it. This, like I said, I was just a little kid at the time. But you go into that cave, and you look up at the roof, and there's a big crack running all the way through it. On one side, it's solid rock. On the other side, it's got seashells and stuff like that. It's like the ocean.
Like the ocean was
over.
There. That is strange.
That would have been a really bad hair day if you were standing there when that happened.
But as far as you know, this fault line you're talking about has not split or ruptured.
No, not that I know of. Of course, I'm not living in Texas anymore. I'm in New Mexico.
All right, well, maybe somebody from that area can give us a call.
But
it's a strange story.
I have to listen to you on my computer because there's no radio station around here. And sometimes I do listen through a radio station in Austin. And I think if there was something going on, they would have.
Yeah, somebody would have said something about it, I would think.
But I know that even when I was I'm 56, and even when I was
it's Russian propaganda.
Stuff in there in that one cave to measure any movement at all. At one time, they just had a stick in there, and the stick fell down. They knew it moved. But then later on, they started putting, more sophisticated equipment in there.
You've been an explorer all your life, haven't you?
I love caves. I do.
Did you ever see a vampire bat in one of those things?
No, they're not very many. Vampire bats are usually, they hang out down in Mexico.
Well, did you ever see
after their cattle.
Did you ever see a creature in a cave?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I saw a lizard in there. It was solid white and it had no eyes.
What do you mean it had no eyes?
Well, this lizard had lived in caves for so long that they just...
Didn't need eyes.
Dark caves, there's fish down in those caves, too.
How big was it?
I've never seen a really big one. But there are a lot of fish in there that are totally white and they have no eyes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of water in these caves. They go deep.
But I tell you, that day that the land fell there and left that escarpment, probably if there was anybody living anywhere with 100 miles there, they were probably just...
All right, make a Sylvia Brown prediction for me.
You know what? I think Sylvia Brown is losing her gift. I hate to say it, but her greed is making her lose her gift.
You think she's gone a little too... Maybe she's had the number 8 in her purse a little too long.
No, I think she's just making too much money because, you know, there were a couple of predictions she made, like Yellowstone was going to blow. It never did.
No, she was right about Saddam Hussein getting captured. We'll give her that one.
Well, yeah. She did say he was underground.
Yeah. She also warned us about trains. It was a major train derailment just a few days after she was on the show, but she sure blew it on the miner story.
Yeah, well, you know, if you notice, the last time she was on and really made a bunch of predictions, not the last time she was on, but the time before,
yeah,
all her predictions are like way off 20 years into the future or somewhere, you know, like nothing's going to happen real soon.
We bring her back down for some, you know, on the predictions television show, the psychics who are on or the intuitives, we talk about 2006 a lot, and then we go out into the future. Sean David Moore, well, I can't say everything to people who didn't watch it yet.
I know, but see, I don't have cable, and I don't have satellite. Is this going to ever be available for us to order on DVD?
Yes, and also, if you go to predictions.tv Tuesday, they will tell you how you can watch the show, I think, off computer.
Oh, that would be cool. You have to pay for it?
Yeah, I don't know how much. I'm not in charge of that. I'm just the talent.
I'd love to see it.
I'm the host.
I'd love to see
it. Okay, thanks.
I'll let you go.
Take care. Let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Scott Peterson. How are you?
But what a name. Not the Scott Peterson.
No, but I'm from the wine country on the Central Coast.
Well, you know, with a name like that, I bet during the trial... That was kind of strange for you, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but my morals are about 180 degrees to that other guy. Maybe
360, you know?
Well, I'm a police officer, so...
you guys are one of my favorites, you know that.
I appreciate that. Well, you were talking earlier about the full moon and Friday the 13th, and I work a lot of graveyards, and we sure do have a lot of fun. On these nights, because it's true, especially on the full moons, we look forward to it because there's not a whole lot that goes on the Central Coast here, but full moons always tend to get people jacked up.
Yeah, they do. Hey, let me ask you a police question. I had a story earlier during my news segment, and I think the sheriff's deputy was absolutely correct in doing what he did. This kid in the school, everybody thought he had a real gun. He had a pellet gun. He pulls it out, aims it at the police officer. Officer shoots him. You guys are trained to shoot at body mass. I think he was right. I think the police officer was right.
Absolutely.
As sad as it is, you know, nobody wants to see a kid get shot, but you cannot go for the leg or anything. You're not trained to do that.
No, we're trained to stop the threat.
Right. You go for the leg, that's when you get killed.
Yes, and you have to make that decision split second. And you have to go to stop the threat, and training kicks in, instinct kicks in, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes things like this happens. But hey, you know, Scott Peterson, a couple hours ago, you had this guy on talking about Friday the 13th and the numbers and everything.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, I started thinking about my name. I got 13 letters in my name.
You sound like you've been pretty lucky all your life, though.
I'm a very blessed man. And it's funny, when I was going through high school, I was a freshman, and my parents started getting letters sent home that, hey, your son's been acting up and all this other stuff. And I was trying to tell them, Mom, hey, no, there's nothing wrong, you know? And come to find out there was a junior in high school by my same name, who was the troublemaker.
They're the wrong guy.
Yeah, so I started going by my middle initial, but then when this murder trial, when Scott Peterson came into the news out of Modesto, I said, what are the odds that it's the same guy?
Oh, how about that?
And I tried to, you know, I waited and waited to see his picture, and it turns out it wasn't the same guy.
Are you about the same age?
About the same age.
That's weird. Hey, so tell me this, Officer Scott. What's the best way to get out of a ticket? you know, we get stopped and you come up to the car. Is there any technique here?
No. To be quite honest with you.
Do you already have your mind made up before you even get to the car if you're going to give this guy a ticket?
Yes, you do. And the best thing to do for us, really, to be quite honest, is to, hey, just hands on the steering wheel, be polite.
And just hope for the best.
Yeah, you know, we're all out there trying to be safe, and you guys included. You know, everybody is.
Yeah.
You know, safety is paramount. And
I mean, there are some people who are truly breaking laws, speeding limits, and things. I mean, excessively. And then you've got the other person who might be daydreaming, and he goes right through a stop sign. You know.
Yes. Yeah, indeed. But we just want everybody safe. Wear your seatbelt. Don't drink and drive.
That's the best.
And Happy New Year.
Okay. Thanks, Scott.
Good talking to you, George.
You too. Tough job. It's good to know people like that are out there, though. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm Carolyn. I'm calling just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. I listen on WPTF.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I don't have a Friday the 13th story, but I do have a story about superstitions and numbers.
Okay, you're on.
I've always thought that the number 7 was lucky. A number of years ago, when we were living in New York, my son was born July 7th. He weighed 7 pounds, 7 ounces. He was born in delivery room 7 at 7 o'clock. My brother-in-law heard all this, went to the drugstore and bought a Lucky 7 scratch-off lottery ticket, won $17. So we said, well, this child is going to be lucky, right? Well, out of 4 kids, he's the only one who's ever broken a bone. He's done it twice, and he was mauled by dogs when he was 11 years old.
Yeah, but somewhere along the line, his luck is going to change, and probably in a big way.
Well, he survives all his mishaps.
Yeah, that's lucky enough. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, George.
Let's move on. Who is next? First-time caller line, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Dan calling. Cincinnati.
Either in a truck or car. I hear you in the background of a road.
Truck driver.
And is the truck, I'm going to remote view your cab. Is it a Troy built?
No, it's actually an International.
Darn. Okay.
Good guess, sir.
There goes my remote viewing career.
Anyways, I was just calling, kind of related to a superstitious story. But a little different.
Sure.
I was driving home one night from work, right here in Cincinnati, and I'm coming up to a bridge, getting ready to cross it, and on the side of the road, I see a black cat, except this cat was a Black Panther.
Oh, they're out there, too.
Yeah, it was very strange. I've never heard anything of any sightings of Black Panthers or anything, you know, in the U.S., and, you know, it spooked me so much, and just the whole experience haunted me for a while. And finally, one day, my friend, who I told about, looked it up on the website, just did a Google search on Black Panthers in Ohio, and all kinds of things came up about it, and apparently there's been a lot of sightings of Black Panthers.
Yeah, there were many in this country. I would think they came in as pets for some people. And they got to a point where they just let them go, or they escaped. And maybe they're breeding. I don't know. Can they? Yeah, maybe. Maybe they have a little breeding farm going on out there now in the wild, and they've met up.
Could be. They've also, you know, I've heard stories of zoologists actually going out searching for these.
They're pretty dangerous, aren't they?
Apparently. I mean, I used to work at the Cincinnati Zoo, and you know, I was always fascinated with them.
I'll tell you what, though, they're gorgeous, gorgeous animal. No doubt about that, but they are. You're absolutely correct. I've had reports of those things all over the countryside out there. I would not want to come upon one if I were camping. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Bill. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Bill.
To on KENI 650.
Do you see the ash from the volcano?
Not yet. It hasn't come up, thank God. Not yet, anyway, but I did see it back in, was it 91, 92? I think it was Mount Spur or Redoubt or something that came up. And unfortunately, the wind was coming up from the south, and it came up, and it was just an ungodly experience. The sun was out. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and all you could see was this apocalyptic cloud coming through. It's like, oh my gosh. And it was like in the late afternoon, and it was, you know, in a couple of hours, it was total darkness. It was just so freaky. It was really bad. But anyway, I was born on 3/13/61, so I have a lot of threes involved and a lot of sixes. So I've had a really good run of luck.
You like sixes?
Yeah, well, no, I like threes.
Oh, okay.
And 13s.
Oh, yeah, stay away from the sixes.
But evidently, hopefully, this volcano, Augustine, will kind of settle down after
all. Yeah, she popped, what, twice on Friday?
Well, and it did three times today. The last pop, it was at 4:45 this afternoon.
You know, this planet is acting up, and I think it heals itself. I've always believed the Earth itself is alive. Has to be for everything to live on it, and I think it's adjusting itself for some reason.
Yeah, it's regurgitating itself, if you wouldn't mind saying that.
True.
But we also live in that Pacific Rim of, the whole Pacific Rim. And it's just that, like you said, I think it's just maybe cleansing itself once again over on this side of the world.
Let's just hope it doesn't cleanse itself too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it's not
really
a clean freak.
On the cars and the lungs.
Yep.
All right, George, take care. Thanks.
You take care up there. Yeah, Anchorage is 180 miles from Augustine, this volcano that has been spewing ash lately. And like I said at the top of the hour when we first came on the program, they're warning planes to stay out of the area. It's 6 miles high, this stuff. What a sight this must be. 6 miles high. I mean, that's something else. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Bob in Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
I was listening to you. I didn't know you was afraid of clowns. Is it white-faced clowns or just like your tramps?
It's just... when I was a kid, there was a clown called Emmett Kelly, right?
Oh, sure.
I liked that thing. My aunt had a doll, an Emmett Kelly doll. I liked it a lot. But all of a sudden, I don't like them now. It's not that I'm really afraid of them. I'm just uncomfortable with them. I don't, they're just weird. Uh-huh. I saw one in a school, in a mall a couple years ago. It had real bloodshot eyes, and I think it was his real eyes. And he kind of, he's making balloons for kids, and he's looking at me like, you know who I am. You know, I don't know if he was some molester or what. He just, I didn't like him.
Okay, but I mean, you know the difference between a tramp and a white face, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm a Shriner, and me and my son both are. And during the circus, before the white face clowns come out, they have to check to make sure there's no monkeys out there, because the monkeys see them and they go crazy. I mean, they're so afraid of them, they about tear the cages apart.
Yeah, Emmett Kelly was the tramp. He wasn't a clown.
Right. He was a tramp.
Yeah.
He was a tramp clown, but white face.
Yeah, those don't bother me.
Yeah. Now, see, my granddaughter, my son's daughter, she's around all these clowns, but she's deathly afraid of all of them, and she knows them all out of clown makeup.
But the minute they put the makeup on...
As soon as they put the makeup on, she won't have nothing to do with them. She'll hide, and she'll scream, and she'll run.
I don't blame her. I'll be back in a moment. I'm not running away. We're just going to sit around for a little bit. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, time to say hello to all of you in the various chat rooms all around the country and the world. Good to have you with us. Hello to you, first of all, listening on your favorite radio station throughout this world. And again, thank you, Philadelphia, for making us number one on WPHT. Appreciate that. Second time in a row, it continues to grow, and we do appreciate your support out there in Philadelphia. I've got to get out there again. I was there. My sister used to live there for a couple of years. One great city, I'll tell you. And I'll always remember Rocky running up those steps. It was great. But thank you. We really appreciate it. So hi to all of you. Hi to all you Streamlink members supporting the program for so many years, and especially the chat room folks there now called the Coast Riders. Those of you listening on XM satellite, specifically you truck drivers, keep on trucking through the night for us. And then the rest of you in the various chat rooms, the NighthawkZone.com folks, hello to all of you, especially you, bad boy. We have a little present for you in the not-too-distant future, but I will not tell you about it yet. Hello to the fantastic Forum Pirates, the originators of Coast to Coast Chat. How are you guys? Hope everybody is fine. The National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, Imaginative Worlds, and the various other clubs all around the planet. Appreciate it. By the way, somebody has fast-blasted me about the devil, saying the devil, George, has just been arrested, charged with possession. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Thank you, by the way, all of you who emailed us yesterday about the great debate between Jerry Corsi and Michael Rupert. And fascinating program. Those two know their subject matter. I was amazed, quite frankly, that the 62% of you thought that Jerry Corsi, who believes in the abiotic oil theory, had won that debate. And Michael Rupert did a pretty admirable job as well. And I've got my own positions about this, and I kept it out, biting my lip for the entire debate. The next debate will most likely be the skeptic's cage with Dr. Michael Shermer and three Coast guests. And those three Coast guests are well known to you. We're tabulating now, but Richard C. Hoagland was one of the three, and I've invited him. I think he'll take the invitation. And then there'll be two others. They'll come in one per hour. Shermer will be the only one who stays on his end, being the skeptic. So two go in, one comes out. Of course, what happens if the first guest knocks him out right away? Then I don't have a show. So hopefully Shermer will defeat the first two. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome, sir.
George.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Mississippi right now, headed to Tennessee.
Ah, you're driving through, are you?
Well, I'm working.
Okay.
I got two counties in Mississippi and four in Tennessee that I work. I was calling about the numbers. Okay. I never have been superstitious about numbers or anything like that, but you got talking about the number four being a lucky number for you.
Sure.
And I've been in law enforcement all my life. And I started trying to get on this new job in 2001. Well, in 2005, I finally got this new position.
4 years it took, huh?
4 years. Well, I got hired on May the 31st. 3 + 1, 4.
That's right.
Well, yep. Then I shipped out. I had to go to Georgia for school June the 6th, which is 6-6. 6 + 6 = 12, derivative of 4. And I was in the academy there until October the 6th, which 10 + 6 = 16. You can divide by 4, or 10 - 6 = 4.
You put in some thought to this.
I did. While I was driving around listening to you, I started thinking about it and playing with numbers, you know, because your callers all night have been playing with you. They've mostly been playing with the number 13. Well, when you said 4 was lucky for you, I started playing with it and trying to see what I could come up with in my life where the number 4 was significant.
They pop up. I don't know how, but they surely pop up in our lives.
Well, the number 4 sure has popped up in mine in the last little bit.
So do you like this new job?
Oh, I love it.
And is it still in law enforcement, or is it totally out of it?
No, it's still in law enforcement.
It is. Good. Good.
I enjoy your show, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being on the program.
Night.
All right. Now, that sounds like a tough police officer. Scotty, you could talk your way out of a ticket. This one, I don't know. This one would be pretty tough. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Gabriella.
Hello, Gabriella.
I'm calling you from Seattle.
That's a very wonderful name.
Well, thank you very much. I have to tell you that you have a very wonderful voice, and that when I come home from a long day, that I look forward to listening to it because it's so soothing. Have you thought of being a hypnotist?
well, my real voice is like this, but I really, you know, push it when I'm on the air. Do you think?
I was going to ask you if it was really that way in real life, but
kind of career do you think I would have like this?
Isn't
it? I mean, I'm the same person. Why would the voice have anything to do with it?
I don't know, George.
But you wouldn't listen to me if I were like this. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on.
Oh, thank you so much.
East of the Rockies.
But I'll go back to only enough.
I really admire when you have guests on how you're so kind and courteous to all of your callers. From all the different walks of life, I'm just never ceased to amaze by that.
Well, you know what? I've always believed that the program lives on its merits. You know, not Coast to Coast, which Art developed, but the fact that radio shows can develop on the merits of the guest and the host without screaming, yelling, and confrontation.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Many of these up-and-coming talk show hosts, and some of them are pretty successful, think that in order to build an audience, you have to scream and confront and, you know, we put your fingers in their faces. And you don't have to do that. Our program, Coast to Coast, the show that Mr. Bell developed, continues to remain the highest rated program in the history of radio.
Oh.
You know, we don't have, we've got a huge audience. I mean, in the millions. But, you know, we're not as big as some of the shows during the daytime because of the mere fact that 67% of the population is awake. 33% of them stay up like we do. But in terms of pure share of an audience, okay, whatever's listening, Coast to Coast, since its inception, has captured the highest amount of listeners of any program ever. And, and in some cities, it's unbelievable. I mean, in Buffalo, you know, 25% of the audience listening in Buffalo right now listens to Coast, people who have their radios on. In major cities in the United States, the great majority of them are listening to Coast. And I mean, that's an incredible fact that, and it's done without confrontation.
It is, and it makes it, now I know why you call it the family, it's La Familia. But anyway, I'm calling you because I wanted to talk to you about the number 13. And I wanted to tell you that for me, 13 has always been a very lucky number. Even though I was inundated, like everybody else, with the superstitions of the negativity and the evil of 13.
Did it start lucky for you right from the get-go? Or did you change?
No, I can't. I don't know if I can say that. I think I had some fear of it when I was little, but only because of all the stories you were told, you know. And so, but anyway, I think 13 has a certain, you know how they say that there's certain frequencies and energies that people vibrate with, and for me, I vibrate with 13, and it vibrates with me. So I don't really know much about numerology or what it means, but that's what I found in my life. And I got married on October 13th.
On purpose? Yeah, I guess it was on purpose. You planned that day?
No. Actually,
you didn't?
It was sheerly a coincidence, and we eloped.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. And so we went to Lake Tahoe, and we eloped. And so afterwards, we went to the casinos, and we were playing. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to play roulette. I'm going to place on 13. And I won. And I won $1,300.
Oh, you're kidding. That's great.
I'm not. And I walked out of the casino at that point. I said, that's it. I'm out.
That's smart.
Greed
would have had you lose the whole thing.
No kidding. So anyway, and then we had a daughter, and she was born on November 13th. So I just really feel that those two things are.
It works for you. You might as
well
run with it. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George. I really enjoy your show.
You're welcome.
Cute laugh. I won't do that voice anymore. Don't worry. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. My engineers are going nuts. They don't know what's happening.
Sounds like a clown talk.
It does. A feeble one.
I'm Robert, and I'm calling from Bellevue. And I got a couple.
Calling from either Bellevue, Washington, or there is a home for the insane called Bellevue.
No, this is actually Bellevue, Nebraska.
Oh, see? All right.
I got a couple things for you. But on the number 13, my great-great-great-grandparents sent one of their children kids in the house.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Nope.
They didn't. They were so afraid of that number, they moved out one of their kids.
Yes, they did. They were so scared of that number.
And how did they pick the kid?
It was the oldest.
They took the oldest and sent him on his way.
And he went and lived with his aunt and uncle a couple miles down the road.
And did they explain to him why this was happening, why we needed to send him out?
Yes.
And did he accept it?
Yes.
Was it you?
No. That wasn't me. That was long, long time ago. In fact, family don't even talk about that much anymore.
I'm wondering what number 13 means to that person who was sent out.
I don't know, but they're long past.
Oh, they are.
I had one other thing. The other night you were talking about the place in Utah.
Oh, yeah, the ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of your guests called and talked about two people appearing in the road and had dogs' heads.
Dog
on
heads,
them.
And they were smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. I got to thinking about that, you know, if you look at all the Egyptian pyramids and stuff, they got humans with the dog heads.
That's right. Or reptilian or birds, whatever they might be. You're right. You're very right. It's very close to that.
So they got me thinking that, you know, they might be from the past coming back.
Yeah, that's very possible.
They might be from that past generation just coming back.
That was a pretty compelling show that night.
Oh, you have some of the most fabulous shows I've ever heard. It just, I can't wait to hear you on the radio.
That's like a fix.
Yes, and it's like that last caller said, your voice just puts me in a trance here. And
maybe I should be a hypnotist.
You've got the voice for it. You really do.
All listen to the show. Hey, make sure you're listening the end of next hour, though. I want you especially to listen to this letter from Michael. You're going to love it.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. I missed one. Someone's been on for an hour. I'll get him next. Hi there. Hello. See, this is his lucky day. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, George. How's it going?
This is
Lori
fine.
In South Dakota.
It's going well for you because a missed call got me to your line.
Yeah, I've just been waiting patiently.
Now, let me ask you one thing before you tell me why you called.
Yes,
well,
sir.
What's it like to hang on the phone for an hour to get on a talk show?
My hand's going numb.
I mean, do you sit there actually with the phone in your ear?
Well, every time you would say wild card line.
You would hope.
I'd be hanging on hoping it was me.
Is it a cordless phone or are you attached to a cord?
No, it's my cell phone.
Cell phone. So you walk around the house or something?
No, I'm just in here reading.
Okay.
Relaxing.
Well, you deserve to tell me your story.
Well, I was able to tune in. I work at night, so I got home and turned on the radio right away. And I was tuning in when you had a caller on that said something about the number of letters in your name adding up to 13. In a person's name, you know?
Yeah.
And how it could be lucky or something. And I never thought about it, but my full name, and this is weird, my full name, especially my last name that I was born with, okay, adds up to 13 letters. And I happened to marry a man whose last name, I have a Swedish version, he's got a Norwegian version. I still have 13 letters in my name. There's only difference is one of the letters in the name, my name changed when I got married. How freaky is that?
Yeah. And has it been a good number?
It's been a 50-50 deal. Yeah. It's just something really weird I was thinking of.
And like, you know, you've been on you've been waiting for an hour and 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
No kidding. Really?
Yep.
That long. Wow. That's weird. I have a friend that I work with. She took the day off, and Friday the 13th is her birthday.
Hey,
you know, I told her, go to the casino, and maybe she'll win big. So I have to hear from her.
It's beginning to be obvious that it's just another number.
You never know.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Still got time for maybe one more first-time caller line. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. This is Sherry, and I'm calling from Billings, Montana.
Hi, Sherry. I know some people who are moving out there. They love Montana so much. They're leaving St. Louis. They're going straight out there.
I moved from the Chicago area, and so far this winter, we haven't had any snow, nothing measurable anyway. I think maybe there was like a 3 or 4 inch snowfall, and that's it.
Normally, you get pelted.
It's been in the 40s and 50s, and everybody's telling me, you're moving to Montana. Why? I said, oh, for the hell of it, you know.
Well, and who knows? You may end up having an ocean right next to you one day.
Well, that's why I was calling you. This is so interesting. In the newspaper, it's one of those rag newspapers. It's called The Sun.
All right.
And in the December 19th issue, there is a man by the name of Gordon Michael Scalia.
Oh, Gordon's been on the program, and he's given us a map. And I know. Yeah, do you have a computer?
No, I've got a picture of the map, though, in this newspaper.
Yeah, that's right. And you're one of the West Coasts, aren't you?
No, actually, it doesn't look like it. And what I've read, because I've read this article 3 or 4 times, and I don't see it hitting and making up oceanfront property.
I mean, I'm trying to remember his map. How far in does it go? Goes quite a ways.
Yeah, well, there are several earthquakes that are supposed to hit. Now, he had one in 92 that he did. There were actually two in 1992. Then it says that a third quake, expected any time now, will set off 3-stage land rupture, beginning along a line stretching from Eureka to Bakersfield in South Baja, California. And then a second rupture will rip from Newport, Oregon to Phoenix, Arizona. And a third will level parts of Utah, Nevada, and Colorado.
It's time to get good old Gordon back on the program.
Yeah, maybe so.
All right, you keep listening. We've got to run. We're at the top of the hour. We've got an hour to go of open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.